A very good evening to you. Welcome to this edition of Gospel for You. Our theme is trust, and we have as our core scriptures, firstly from Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And also from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 to 31. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I think that last part of that scripture is perhaps the best known. But it's important that we consider all God's word in context, and that's why we have a few more verses to add. Our theme is trust. What do we trust in? Do we trust in ourselves? Do we trust in the things of this world, like mobile phones, for example? Or do we trust in God? And this particular passage in verse 31 says, but those who hope in the Lord, some versions might say those who wait on the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, maybe those who trust in the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So in this Gospel for You program, where our emphasis theme is on trust, particularly trusting in the Lord. And going back to Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And that is where my trust is, and I know that he is the one helping me to produce this program, all the way from working out what Bible text to use, the title and the theme, to the various parts of the program. This program, God enables me to produce, to go out to your radio sets on shortwave 7290 kHz and 1323 kHz on a Monday evening. And on this Monday evening, we'll be hearing John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And that in Spanish, Hungarian, and in Swedish. And we do this because it's our heart to get the gospel, the good news of salvation, out to every language group around the world. You might well be in a country not in Europe, for example, in North Africa and the Middle East, but the message is still the same, and that is one of God's love for each person. In this program, we'll be hearing a bit of a testimony from Les Brown, who is a mission aviation pilot, and he found himself lost over Africa, but throughout his time flying, throughout much of his life, he put his trust in God. We're also going to hear from Pastor Fergus Buchan, Kingdom Come. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. And we'll also be hearing from David West, if you could own all the world, putting your trust in worldly things instead of trusting in God. Where would you be? What would happen in your life? I hope that you enjoy the program and be inspired by the program. Here's your gospel in Spanish.
¿Por qué de tal manera amó Dios al mundo que ha dado a su Hijo unigénito para que todo aquel que en él cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna?
I had not been flying for long in Africa, though I had already done some long distance trips. East coast of Somalia, southern border of Tanzania, Congo, Rwanda, Burundi. But the one coming up made me a little edgy. The problem with long flights was the fact that there was no toilet facilities on board, so one had to last out until the next refueling stop, about 4 hours. The other problem was over large areas of Africa, there was nothing to navigate by. Change days now with satellite navigation. So when a trip came up to go to a mission station in Central African Republic from our base in Nairobi, I wasn't overexcited. The destination was a little short of 1,000 miles away, and when leaving Uganda, the terrain would be flat and tree covered. No roads and no rivers marked on the map. I was briefed. Land at Gulu in Uganda for refueling. From there, fly a direct track for Obo, about 400 miles further on, after crossing into Congo and the Central African Republic. And 100 miles before your destination, there will be a hut with a corrugated iron roof on it. If you can't find this, turn back, because you will never have you'll have little chance of finding Obo. After the tin roof, there is nothing to navigate by. There is not much before it either. All started off well, and I arrived at Gulu in Uganda as planned and refueled. I prayed that the weather would be good for the onward part of the journey, as there had been several thunderstorms overnight. I set off in the next leg of the journey with my one passenger and freight on board. After about 100 miles, we left Uganda and flew into Congo airspace. There was a river away to the south, which gave a little indication of where I was. But soon it disappeared, leaving nothing except my tin roof to find. I was now about 300 miles from my departure at Gulu, and the time had come, according to my calculations, for us to be overhead the tin roof. What a blessing, the sun was shining, and I could see a shiny spot coming up, which wasn't water, the tin roof. Even so, I was not able to relax, for it would be 40 minutes before the grass strip at Obo would appear out of the trees. With the sun shining, I was able to check the shadows of the clouds on the ground below and estimate the direction of the wind was taking, and make sure that I was allowing for drift in the correct direction. 30 minutes went by, and only trees on flat ground had passed below me. But the map now showed a dotted line, which indicated that there should be some sort of track between the trees. If my timing was right, I should have passed that track, but I couldn't see anything but trees, which was a bit worrying. I turned my head and looked back as far as I was able, and there it was, a tiny dirt line between some trees. To say it was a road might be a bit of an exaggeration, but it was a track of some sort. 5 minutes later, a grass strip appeared with a building beside it. My, this would be a hard place to find if you miscalculated the wind and got off track. 1 degree of track puts you 1 mile left or right of you of every 60 miles covered. So that would be nearly 7 miles for 1 degree on this leg of the journey. Obo was an interesting African village. The usual mud huts with grass roofs set among the trees. The police building was a brick and it had a radio. It didn't work, but it had one. There was many mango and avocado trees, and it was interesting to see that the dogs eagerly ate the avocados lying on the ground. The mission station had two families. Only rough tracks connected the village with anywhere, and it required a very sturdy vehicle to negotiate them. After a good night's sleep and having refueled the aircraft, we set off back to Nairobi via Uganda, the missionary and his wife. As on the outbound trip, we made contact with the Congo Air Traffic Control Center to advise them that we were in Congo airspace. After 2.5 hours flying, we should be approaching the Uganda border. Congo would have advised Uganda that we would be crossing into their airspace. The hard work was done. We were coming into a country with navigational features such as mountains, rivers, lakes, and occasional roads of sorts. Time to put my feet up, lean back, and have my picnic lunch. Plenty of time, so no hurry over lunch. I just needed to keep straight and level. Then, just when I was enjoying my relaxation, a voice came over the radio, which I had on the speaker. November 4149 Yankee, this is East Africa Control. Could I please have a position report? East Africa Control, this is 49 Yankee. I'll call you back. Now, where am I? Lunchbox down, map unfolded. We must be just over the Ugandan border, about here. But none of the features I see on the ground relate to my map. I spent 5 minutes looking around, trying to find a feature that would fit. The loudspeaker blasted out again. 49 Yankee, this is East African Control. A position report, please. In other words, where are you? East African Control, this is 49 Yankee. I will call you back in 5 minutes. I quickly put on the headphones and switched off the speaker, not wanting the passengers to realise that I didn't know where we were. I still had an hour of flying before Gulu, where I needed to refuel. Whatever happened, I must find my position before all my fuel was gone. I must not miss Gulu. I called back to East African Control to pass my estimated position. That should keep them quiet for 30 minutes. After which they will be asking for an update. I was beginning to get a little worried now. Things were not making sense. In my flight plan, I did have an alternate to use in case of bad weather or unforeseen circumstances. It was maybe time to consider this. Entebbe was further away than Gulu by about 30 minutes, but it was on the shore of Lake Victoria, and I couldn't miss that even with my eyes shut. So back to East Africa Control to tell them I was diverting to Entebbe. It didn't add much onto the total length of my journey to Nairobi, but it did make me low on fuel by the time I was due to reach Entebbe. I felt like kicking myself for not concentrating all the time. Now every minute I found myself looking at the fuel gauge as if there would be a perceptible difference indication on the gauge in 5 minutes. At last the shores of Lake Victoria came into sight, and so did Entebbe. Problem solved. I end with this experience because it has taught me a lesson that has been with me all my life since. It is this. We are all on a long journey. We most certainly will come down to earth sometime when we run out of fuel. We will have to give an account of our journey. Perhaps the greatest danger to us is when everything seems to be going so smoothly and we reckon that we have cleared all the hurdles. The same question still rings in my ears, as it rang in the ears of Adam in the Garden of Eden, a question to which he had no answer. Where are you?
János 3:16. Mert úgy szerette Isten e világot, hogy az ő egyszülött fiát adta, hogy valaki hiszen ő benne, el ne vesszen, hanem örök élete legyen.
This is Gospel for You, and you've been listening in to Your Gospel, John 3:16, in Hungarian. A testimony from Les Brown, a mission aviation pilot who was lost for a time over Africa. And Your Gospel in Spanish. Now is a conversation between myself and a new volunteer for Gospel for Grampian Radio, which produces this program. It was called Mark Oval, And during the course of our conversation during a program called Gospel Cafe, we discussed about the importance of waiting on God through God's word, through actually taking time to be silent. How many of us actually are brave enough to take time to be silent before God? Prayer is a two-way process. We can speak to God, yes, and he longs to hear us, to know what's on our heart. But we also need to hear from God. And as we've been speaking, myself and Mark Oval, who's joined me in the studio, it's great to have you in the studio, Mark. And we've been speaking about prayer and speaking about silence, speaking as well about how prayer is actually a two-way conversation.
That's correct. Thank you, Rob.
Yeah. So would you like to, I'm going to just throw this out, and would you, do you want to add anything more to that, to develop that?
I would, actually. I can start by rereading
that would
passage.
Be a good idea, yes. Mm. So go ahead.
So the passage is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, where it says, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. Now, part of Israel's rich history includes a prophet named Elijah, as we've just read. Elijah went through several struggles, but in this passage, we see God wanting to teach him something new. After the fire came a sound of sheer silence, or one could say a sound of soft silence. Now, scholars have struggled to explain how God spoke in the sheer silence, and as a result, the interpretation of the Hebrew itself became still, small voice, or as we read, a gentle whisper. And it is in that silence that Elijah met God. And some would say that silence is where God dwells. And developing this theme of silence and prayer, I believe it's a good thing that we not only talk to God, but that we also listen.
Definitely. Thinking about it, of course, conversation is a two-way thing. And we need to listen in order to be able to respond to what is being said by the other person. So when you're speaking, I won't be speaking, but you're listening to me right now, and you're getting ready to speak in response to that. In the same way, we should be responsive to God by allowing him to speak to us. I think when I first came to the Bible and realized that there was a, yes, true living God, but I was afraid in a funny kind of way, because I couldn't see God. And I sort of wondered how I would feel or know that he even existed if I couldn't speak to him or know how I could actually hear from him. And people say, well, you can hear by reading the Bible. Yes, you can. But there's more to it than that. Because when you fully come to know God, God comes to live within you by his Spirit. And it is by his Spirit that allows me to speak as I do. So when the fader is up, or even when the fader is down, if we're speaking about God, he is the one who provides me with the knowledge of exactly what to say. But we have to be ready and be ready to spend that time with him. And it is because the likes of Elijah spent time with God praying, and the likes of course, the Lord himself, Jesus, who took so much time out with God, praying, not only speaking to God, but listening out for what God said back through his spirit. Because of that, Jesus was able to do so much. And when we even start on this, we can only imagine how it will be if we fully spend more time in prayer, listening rather than necessarily speaking, listening rather than actually putting on our mobile, our TV or anything else. So as I was speaking just now, I thought I'm going to go and take the mobile from the table in my sight and place it behind me so I cannot see it. And I'm doing that so that that will not distract me.
Very good, very good. It actually says God in God's word in Psalm chapter 37, verse 7, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act.
And that's patience. So that's another aspect that we need to be ready. Are we patient with ourselves? Are we patient with others? Are we patient with God? Sometimes I get impatient with all three of us.
It is important that we learn from God's word and set aside a quiet time with our Lord and Savior as often as we possibly can.
And I think when troubles come our way, to then remind ourselves by applying God's word and doing that, I find it gets better.
I do too.
Mark Orvell and myself speaking about silence during a broadcast and recording of Gospel Cafe on Gospel for Grampian Radio. More on that in just a little bit. But first of all, it's back to our theme, which is in trust. And when we're taking time to listen out for God, to what he's saying to us, we're putting our trust in God. Let's go back to our scriptures once again. Isaiah 40, 27 to 31, in particular, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We're thinking about trust. Trusting in God, and although God is someone we can't see, yet he's someone who lives in our hearts, lives in our lives by his Spirit. But do we take the time to listen to him? For those of us who have accepted Christ as Lord and Saviour, are we fully putting our trust in God? Or do we look to the things of the world? Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We could easily run ahead with a great many plans, trusting again in ourselves rather than in God. But as Fergus Buchan in Kingdom Come is now speaking about, unless the Lord builds the house, the labourers labour in vain.
Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome back to Kingdom Come with me, Jess Priest, and Pastor Fergus Buchan from MMI London. Thank you all so much for tuning in and joining us again tonight. We're all so excited and truly feeling blessed to be back with you all. So last week was our first episode back of 2021, where Pastor Fergus shared with us a story about one of his missions and outreaches that him and his son, Fraser, went on in Zimbabwe. And it was actually one of MMI's first ever outreaches. And tonight, Pastor Fergus is going to share with us another story, one that is very special and very heartwarming to hear, that happened when he was on another one of his outreaches. And we're actually sitting here tonight with Joe, Pastor Fergus's wife, and before we met this evening, Joe got a scripture which I thought I'd share with you guys. So it's Luke chapter 16, verse 10. And it says, "He who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." So without further ado, over to you, Pastor Fergus.
Well, good evening all. Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, Jess. It's good to be back together with you again as we bring another story from the mission outreaches. Thanks so much for allowing this team to be back on for Gospel for Grampian. It's good to be with you. And I've got something quite exciting to share with you today. A while ago, I mentioned about us taking a small pickup, about a four-tonner, up to Zimbabwe to take food. It was a desperate time in those days during some elections, and there was no food, and people were starving, literally starving. My son and I, we were on our own mission station, and he came and said, "Dad, I want you to pray with me that I believe we should take some supplies up and feed our brothers and sisters." And I said, "Fine, let's pray about this." And we did pray about it. And we eventually got circa a ton of food, and up we went. But, you know, a lot of people, you get a lot of people that are negative in life, as we all well know. And a lot of folks were saying to us, what's a ton of food going to do? You know, maybe it was half a ton. You know, we packed that thing full. And we said, "Well, we don't know, but the Lord told us to take this food up." So we did, but I've got a scripture just to confirm that, okay? And two scriptures I'm going to read before I go into my story. And if you go to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 10, the first sentences say this: "For who has despised the day of small things, small beginnings?" All right, because we didn't know what was going to happen later, which I'm going to share with you folks tonight. I also want to just go forward again to a scripture about missions. And this is the scripture that Messiah Ministries International stands on. It's the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 9. I beg your pardon. Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. And it says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Well, that's what we do. We go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But in verse 20, okay, the last verse in chapter 16 says, "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Amen. We went up, we delivered the food, we had a lot of hardships, a lot of issues, but we got the job done and we came back. Well, people got to hear about that particular mission. And this is what happened. We realized the enormity of the situation in the then Zimbabwe. And our hearts went out to our brothers and sisters that were literally starving up in the northern part of Zimbabwe. And we started praying again. So remember now, the Lord doesn't despise small beginnings or small things, whichever version of Bible you're reading. And we happened to get the word out through a very good friend of mine who has a wonderful Christian magazine in South Africa. And they did an article for us, and we shared. Well, the blessings just started to come tenfold, because the first thing that came to mind was a lady from Durban. She owned a very big trucking company. And she said, "Fergus, I want to be on board. What I can do is supply you with a 32-ton truck and a driver. And I'll get the food to wherever you want to go." So we said, "Wow, how big is God?" But 32 tons. Now, I don't know if you people can even picture that in your mind, how much stock, food, how much that is, 32 ton. How are we going to find that, Lord? Well, you see, those that put their faith and trust in Him He'll answer us. So we began, and people started coming to us, started with farmers. And some of them wanted to, who did, tithe some of their maize to us. Maize, as you well know, those that know Africa, those that don't know Africa, maize is the staple diet. It gets pounded down to a flour and cooked. And it's like in the UK, we eat potatoes as a staple diet. Well, maize, or mealie meal, as it's known where I come from, is your staple diet on the side, and your veggies and meat are around the side of it. And it's lovely. It's delicious. Not everybody likes it, but I love it. So we got the maize, and then businesses started approaching us. And then we started to receive cooking oil and rice and sugar, coffee, tea. It just started to come in, but it really started to come in. Obviously, the first thing that always goes on to our trucks whenever we do go out, even if it's in small Land Cruisers, is the Word of God, Bibles, tracts. And we started to be blessed with that. So now we were starting to really get quite full. We were getting up to the 32 tons. And I had to go to an optician in a big shopping center in Johannesburg to get some stuff for my eyes, or I don't know what I needed, but I needed something. And we have a particularly big pharmacy in South Africa called Dis-Chem. It's massive. I mean, there's no, well, I think in Southern Africa, there's no bigger pharmacy than this, a chain. And it's owned by one family. It's still run by the father, to my knowledge. Anyway, we were in Dis-Chem looking at a big rack. Something new had arrived, a massive rack of glasses with different strengths. You know, like cheapies, quickies, where you didn't have to go to an optician and get your eyes tested. You were bad, or lost your glasses and needed glasses. You tried on your different strengths with the chart, and they cost very little money. As I was just looking at this from interest point of view, I wasn't there to buy that. A gentleman came up and said, are you being served? I said, yes, thank you. I'm just waiting for my wife. And he said, I see you looking at these glasses. They're quite new on the market. Then they were quite new. I said, yeah. I said, it's really interesting. I said, it's the kind of thing I could use. So he said, but you got glasses? I said, yeah, I do. I said, but where I go, this would be very beneficial. He said, what do you do? So Jewish gentleman, the company is owned by Jewish people. And, you know, boldness. I said, well, I'm a missionary, sir, and I'm going up to Zimbabwe with a whole bunch of stuff. And we've got Bibles for people to read, but most of them, a lot of them, especially the elderly, can't read the Word of God. He said, well, look, take my card, phone me, and I'll go back to head office and I'll see if I can get some sponsorship for you. We might be able to rustle up 300 pairs. I said, wow, what a blessing. I said, really? He said, yeah, phone me. I said, I will phone you. So we went home and carried on and checked our lists, and then this gentleman's card came up, and I found him. And he said, Mr. Buchan, would you come into our head office? The owner would like to meet you. So I said to him, yeah, I'll come in. That's fine. But little did I know that one of our board members is involved in a very big investment company in Johannesburg, and he knew the owner personally. In fact, the owner was one of his accounts. And when I mentioned this to our board member, he said, I can't believe this, that you've actually got in to see this guy. I said, well, that's God, isn't it? He said, I'm going to come with you. I said, fine, sure, you're welcome. So off we went. When we were waiting in the reception area, my dear friend turned and said, listen, don't be offended if you get given very little time, and you might not even be offered a seat, because these are hardworking people and they really do work. I said, nah, as long as I get what we came for, I'll do anything. So in we walked, and there was the owner sitting behind a massive desk full of papers. He had heavy horn-rimmed glasses on the top of his head. He was just in a plain white shirt and black slacks. And he looked at me and he said, good afternoon, Mr. Buchan. He says, my name is Mr. Saltzman. So I said, good afternoon, Mr. Saltzman. Thanks for seeing me. So he stood up and he said, please come and sit over here with me. Well, my friend, first of all, got a shock of his life, but anyway. And then he said, would you like coffee or tea? I said, yeah, I like coffee. I like, or tea, actually, whatever. And we've got a lovely cup of tea now. We're ready. He says, I believe you're a missionary. I said, I am. And I believe my agent spoke to you. I said, yes. He said he could help me with some reading glasses. He said, when are you going? I said, yeah, in about 3 weeks' time. It's getting close now. He said, right. He had his intercom right there, and he phoned down to his, I don't know, his manager, I guess, of his warehouse. I'm talking massive. He said, how many of these new spectacles can we release to me now? Blah, 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 blah. He says, Mr. Buchan, can I give you 5,000 pairs? I said, how many? And he said, furthermore, what else do you need? So I said, Mr. Saltzman, I'm going to a country that has been devastated by whatever. There's nothing there. So we got every kind of painkiller, and we got bandages, and we got plasters, and we got ointments, and whatever. I mean, it was like, I can't believe how much stuff this gentleman gave us. Why am I telling you about this? Because you cannot outbless God. If you're faithful with small things, he'll trust you with bigger things. Amen. So this all came to pass, and I got up and I said, well, Mr. Saltzman, I really want to thank you very much. I said, it's going to make a huge difference, because we can give somebody a Bible, and if he can't read, we can test him on the charts, which he gave us the whole thing. He can get a pair of glasses to read the Word of God. So he said, fine, Mr. Buchan, that's good. I said, my door's open to you. Even to this day, I know if I go there and I need help, he'll help me. As I was leaving, he said, hang on, I'm not finished with you. So I said, oh, here we go. What have I done wrong here? He said, I want you to pray a blessing over me. Now, this is a Jewish gentleman, possibly Orthodox, I'm not sure. But you see, you know that saying that Christ in you, that verse, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, I'm praying, I'm believing, not praying, because it happened. He saw Christ in me. So I said, can I put my hand on your shoulder? He said, you can. And I prayed a blessing over him and his family and his company. And we left. That's the kind of thing that was happening. And then the phone calls came in, and this was given and that was given, petrol, diesel. Then we were blessed with a very dear friend of mine. He's a pastor in Durban, had a clearing agency where he used to check in stuff from overseas and send stuff out. And the bookwork was getting over our heads, and we didn't know what we were doing, quite frankly. So they took it over for free and cleared everything, got it, all the paperwork in place. This took a year, brothers and sisters, a year. You see, God's timing is not our timing. God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than ours. So now we're all set to go. And, well, I was so excited because a lovely church on the outskirts of Johannesburg allowed us to use their big grounds. They had a big lockup where all the food came in. A whole bunch of young guys and girls came out and helped us pack it, pack the truck, put the tarpaulins over it. And we're all ready now. And then I got a call to go to Germany. Now, this is what I love about the Lord. Now, I wasn't the only one involved, but I was spearheading it with my son and Joanne and our teams. But it kind of fell on my shoulders. And, you know, talk about a bit of stress here. Anyway, we got it all cleared, date was set, and we were ready to go. And I was called to go to Germany. But I said, Lord, I want to go up there and hand out this food. I want to be part of this. I mean, come on, Lord. I mean, I did a lot of work here. He doesn't share his glory with anybody. Nobody. So I flew off to Germany with Joanne and my son and his teams. They took the truck up to a place called Chinoy, which is up in northern Zimbabwe, about 120 k's north of Harare. But you see, God knows, and people that supported us know, because we made it very clear that we were going to distribute the food. Not some NGO, not some crooked government official that'll take the food and sell it or distribute it to his friends. No, no. We were taking this to brothers and sisters in Christ. We were distributing it. So what they did when the team got up there, I only saw photographs because I was now in Europe. They got massive plastic bags. and they packed parcels. And each family got a parcel, a big parcel. I'm talking a big plastic bag. And we started to distribute the food. It took a long time. 32 ton is a lot of food. But what happened, brothers and sisters, is quite remarkable, because we managed to feed 700 families for 3 months. Yes, what happened after that, I don't know. But we managed to keep that going for that time and the length of time. The Bibles and the glasses took longer because we give that away at crusades, churches, people that need. But it was such a blessing. So let's go back. Let's go back here to that lovely scripture that I read to you. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. For who has despised the day of small things? Small beginnings. The Lord looks at your heart and he sees if I can trust you. Oh, Lord, I've had my church and my ministry now going on for 5 years and we only got 50 people. Oh, I want to be like the mega church. No. You see, he's checking your heart. What do you want to be like? Do you want to copy somebody else? Do you want to piggyback on somebody else? Or do you want the real thing? You see, the Bible says also, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Unless the Lord put that truck across our paths, the farmers, the businessmen, the clearing agents, the pharmacies, the youngsters that came along to help us pack, unpack, drivers, getting the food across the borders without it being stolen, or unnecessary charges, or bribed. We've never bribed a person, never bribed a thing in our lives. Kept our truck sitting there for a long, long time, but we got through by his grace because he sent the angels before us. So remember this now when you're starting work or you're finishing school or you're in school or you're going into ministry. Just remember when you lead one soul to Jesus Christ, the Bible says the angels of God rejoice in heaven over one repentant sinner. You don't have to look at the Billy Graham crusades or any other crusades. That one repentant sinner, the Lord will look at you and see your heart, and then he'll take you from there. He raises up one and he brings down another. Don't forget that. So be encouraged, brothers and sisters, that this is a true story of the mission field of what happened to my family and our ministry when I was still living in Johannesburg, South Africa. As you most of you all know now, I'm now living in London and operating our ministry from central London, going back into Africa and reaching the lost in the streets of London. So be encouraged. I want to thank you for this time, Jess. Thank you for sitting with me. And I'd like to close in prayer and give God all the praise and all the glory. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for sharing. Thank you, Lord, that somebody would be encouraged with this message today. Somebody that wants to step out the boat, but they're fearful. They don't know how to. Well, now that's how it happens. It's exactly what happened to us. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Remember that. So, Father, I pray over that person that's listening to this program today. I don't know where you are in the world, but Jess and I will stand together by faith that whatever you put your hands to will be blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as he gets the glory. In Jesus' name, amen, and good night till next week.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Fergus, for sharing that with us, and thank you to everyone that tuned in tonight. If any of you have any questions or prayer requests, please send them in to mmi.london.uk@gmail.com, and Pastor Fergus would love to hear them and get back to you. So we'll see you all next week, and don't forget to tune in and join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Until then, God bless.
Pastor Fergus Buchan with Kingdom Come. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. This program is Gospel for You. And we're talking about trust this week. We have as our core scriptures Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And thinking about that, The Bible also speaks about people trusting in money and people trusting in fortresses. But if you trust in anything else but God, where would you be? Isaiah 40 verses 27 to 31. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. These are promises for each person who puts their trust in God rather than in things or even themselves. I think when you're young, you can feel invincible and feel that you can do anything. But there's a scripture that says, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. That ties in nicely with Isaiah 40, verses 27 to 31. In this program, we've tried to bring to you a selection of scriptures and thoughts from different people, including from ourselves, designed to get you thinking about trusting fully in God. And now we've got an opportunity for you to respond in prayer to what you have heard. In all the things that we're doing, we want to make the gospel, the good news of salvation, available and accessible to people of every language group. Not merely those who just speak the English language or some of the mainstream languages, but some of the lesser known languages such as you might find in Africa or in Asia. But Christ actually told a parable, a short story, about a shepherd when one of the sheep went missing. He actually left the 99 other sheep that he had on the hillside, and he went in search of that one sheep, and then he brought it back rejoicing. Or of the woman who lost coins because she was cleaning and the coins fell on the floor. So she went and swept the floor diligently until she found the coin, and then went to her neighbours and said, celebrate with me, because I have found the coin I lost. I mean, we all lose things and we're tremendously relieved when we get them back. But let's refer that back to God. God is delighted when someone who was a sinner returns and accepts Christ as Lord and Saviour. And in accepting Christ as Lord and Saviour, believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth, acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, you'll be saved. And that means a transformation in your life, whether immediately or certainly over a period of time. As long as you have to live, you've been made right with God through Christ Jesus. You can come to God and pray about anything and everything. And remembering what we heard in today's program about prayer is a two-way process, about not only speaking but about listening. God will hear your prayers, and through his Spirit, the prayer that we're going to be praying in just a moment places entire reliance on God and invites God into our lives by his Spirit, for his Spirit to actually help us to be the people he wants us to be. And that prayer coming up. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I'm sorry for all the things that I have done which are wrong. My behaviour, my thoughts, my wrong attitudes, my words both written and spoken by which I've hurt others. My broken promises, the ways I've let people down and you down, and the other wrong things I've done. Please forgive me. Please help me to repent, to turn away from everything that is wrong in my life. Please now come into my life by your Spirit to be my Lord and Saviour forever, and help me to be the person you want me to be. Amen. And that prayer is but just a start. Now it's a case of actually building on that faith. And you do that by a daily walk and a daily trust in God, a daily remembrance of what God has done for you, a daily thanksgiving. Start reading God's word, and in particular, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, and your neighbour as yourself. Doing all these things will help to bring you closer to God, will help you to develop and further develop that relationship with God so that you'll be able to trust him. And that is what our theme is about for this program. Now, I did say that I'd talk a little bit about the program that I mentioned earlier. That program is called Gospel Cafe. Gospel Cafe is a program produced by Gospel for Grampian Radio, which produces also this program as well. Gospel Cafe is a way of, again, making the gospel more accessible to people. And during that program, we take a theme, just like we do in this program. And sometimes we even have guests in, or some of our studio volunteers, and they come in and they work with us to address a particular theme, a particular scripture, talking about it and relating that to the music that they hear, to life in general. Because when you become a Christian, you start seeing life from a totally different perspective. Life then starts to become richer when you start to walk with God. Isn't that amazing? I need to also tell you about the core scripture for our radio station, Gospel for Grampian. Although we broadcast from Aberdeen, Aberdeen is a multicultural city and a multinational city. And that's why I believed from this that we could start reaching out through online radio and now on shortwave and medium wave to many countries around the world. So we have as our core scripture, John 10 verse 10. The thief comes to steal, to kill and to destroy. But I've come that they may have life to the full. Who was it who said these words? It was Christ Jesus. And it is Christ Jesus that we are trusting for this. It is Christ Jesus who we serve. And Christ wants that in spite of what the world throws at us, in spite of what life throws at us, each person will be enabled to live life to the full. If those who know Christ are able to put aside differences and start working together in love and in unity, three words that the Lord gave me, unity of response, working together in love and unity to demonstrate the gospel to every language group around the world, so that everyone might hear, see and experience the gospel for themselves. Wouldn't that be amazing? And that is the heart of what we're doing. We hope you've been inspired by this program. Feel free to listen again to it. We have a podcast, and we'll make sure this program goes out again on podcast, as well as it is broadcast on Gospel for Grampian Radio at 7 p.m. UK time on Friday. That's 8 p.m. CET. so do listen in then. We'll be playing out this Gospel for You edition on the subject of trust with David West, If You Could Own All the World, and Your Gospel in Swedish. We'll be back in a fortnight's time. Next week, you'll be able to hear Angelina Mohan Posada with an edition of Work on Air. Work on Air is produced by Women of Africa Care from South Africa, and it's their heart to be able to engage and empower women and youth from especially Africa, America, and Australia with biblical principles and Christian business ethics. See you in a fortnight's time. God bless for now.
If you could own all the world and its money, build castles tall enough they'd reach the sky above. If you could know everything there was to know about life's game, still you'd know nothing until you've known the love of God. Until you've known that loving hand that reaches down to a fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you know just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you know nothing until you've known the love of God. If in your lifetime you could meet everybody and you could call every name from here to beyond, but if you've not come face to face with Jesus and his saving grace, then you know no one until you've known God and his love. Until you've known that loving hand that reaches down to a fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you know just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you know nothing until you've known the love of God. No, you know nothing until you've known the love of God.
Johannes 3:16. Så älskade Gud världen, att han gav den sin enda son, för att de som tror på honom inte ska gå under, utan ha evigt liv.